Blog Talk Radio.
I'm a part of the fellowship of the unashamed. I have Holy Spirit power. I've stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I'm a disciple of His. I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past redeemed, my present makes sense, Brian, my future is secure. I'm finished and done with low living, sight walking, small planning, smooth knees, colorless dreams, tame vision, worldly talking, cheap giving, and dwarf goals. I no longer need preeminence, position, promotion, applause, or popularity. I don't have to be right first, tops, recognized, praised, regarded, or rewarded. I now live by faith, lean on His presence, walk by patience. I am uplifted by prayer and labor empowered. My face is set, my grade is fast, my goal is heaven. My road is narrow, my way is rough. My companions are few, my God reliable, my mission is clear. I cannot be bought, compromised, detoured, lured away, turned back, deluded, or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice, hesitate in the presence of my adversaries, negotiate at the table of my enemy, or ponder at the pool of popularity. Give up, set up, let up until I've stayed up, poured up, prayed up, preached up for the cause of Christ. I am a disciple of Jesus.
We'll just go like this. Well, right there.
Blog Talk Radio, welcome. Here we go.
Why is it going live? Wow.
Wow, 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 wow. Alrighty. Huh. Welcome, David Sweeney.
Are you live now?
I'm live.
Hello,
Becca. Hello. Chapman. Ashley.
We were having a hard time getting here.
We're here. Jet something. Fine day in Michigan. It's been a fine day in North Dakota too. Beautiful sunshine. Too much wind. We've been binding it all day. Doesn't do any good to have beautiful rain and then have no and then the wind dry it all out. You know, that don't make sense. Give me just a second. We'll share this with a few of our valuable friends. And we'll be right with you. You know, Phyllis K. Raymond's with us already. Dan Cottle's with us already. Brother Dave, were you rolling in and out from underneath the cars today, or were you just standing around with the white gloves pointing?
That sounds better.
Very interesting. Very interesting.
What is? We're all just hearing you saying very interesting. And don't know
this whole mess that's in front of me is like very interesting. But I think it's going to work. No, I know it's going to work. Rebecca Smith is with us. All the saints are here. Somebody start singing. Oh, when the saints come marching in. When the saints come marching in. Al Barton, oh yeah, I know. We'll be in that number. When the saints come marching in. Oh, when the saints sing. Who we got? It's a soprano tonight. Come marching in. When the saints come marching in. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I know. I'll be in that number. How about you? When the saints come marching. Hit it, love.
Wow. Remember that commercial where that lady used to shatter the glass?
Woo! That was a long note. I'll tire you out right there.
Could have shattered. What was that commercial about?
Well, it was Bugs Bunny and somebody. Mary Patrick, oh Lord, Mary, you always love my singing.
You do. You asked for it. Here it is, girl.
Mary, we miss you when you're not with us, so don't let that happen. My screen just shattered. Cord came unhooked and ran across the floor. Cats all ran out of Dave and Gwen's house.
Oh, my goodness. That's too funny. Good.
Went shopping this weekend and once tonight. Ended up buying two cars. Have no idea why.
Wow. That's a good shopping trip.
Well, you know, it's a great place to be in life, Dave, when you can just buy two cars, you know?
Yeah, I know. That's awesome.
Think about how many people that couldn't buy a car, all right? But... Well, you know, and don't forget West Branch. If you drive up 13 from Bay City to West Branch, that if you can't find it on that road, you don't need to buy it right there now. I'll tell you what.
I am ready for YouTube.
Been dealing with computer problems?
That's not good.
Well, Mary, when I was a mechanic in the school in Kentucky, which consisted of sweeping the floors. Our lead mechanic, Mr. Heater, said, if at first it doesn't work, get a bigger hammer. So maybe that's what you need to do with that computer. Oh, my. We got a good topic going tonight. Brother Dan, how many things you buy this weekend? You know, it wasn't but a week or so ago that we all was admitting what it was that we were hoarding. And you ought to see what Leanne hoards. She's just a hoarder of hoarders. I mean, it's like, really.
I'm a hoarder.
I have to go through the house and we really need all of these stacked in the corner, really? But tonight we're going to talk about what was your latest.
Yeah, let's have a picture of yours and Gwen's Folger can display. Talk about hoarding. did you not?
I didn't. I looked at it. A blue button right there, and the mouse was on it, but it just didn't. You know, it wasn't like complete. It wasn't totally happening.
How about now?
It is now. All right.
There it is.
Oh, my. Woo! You know how a mechanic is. I can sell that to so-and-so. And that squeak, that was just a brake pad, but they got a low price on it because of it, so we're all right. Just change the brakes. We'll sell it.
Yeah,
but they were really cheap. Don't worry, folks. All of you that's sitting around wondering, are these guys spiritual? What do we got going on here? Tonight we welcome you to the Community of Faith Buying Club. And a little bit later, we'll begin to model all the wonderful things we have. We got two cars for sale. We got a shack in Montana.
It does sound like we have a lot of treasure relocators in our group, so we probably
We don't call them hoarders. We call them supernatural treasure relocators. You're not a hoarder. You're just keeping it until the next person shows up that needs it. Boy, it doesn't get stuck in the landfill. We are a landfill space provider.
And that part is good. It's the thing where you hide it in the closet or garage so that the next person doesn't know you have it.
Anybody got a good van? My van's been making me mad. And Dave's going to say, well, I bought a van this weekend. Have you been to any garage sales? No, we don't do that. That's a perfect way to take stuff home you don't need.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. We've relocated enough stuff. We've saved enough items from the landfill.
I have a huge pile barely staying in the chair. No. That's what basements are for. Because then you're like Mike and Shannon and Brother Robert. Who put that stuff down there? And everybody points at you like, no, it was you. We ain't hauling it out. You haul it out. Because one day you will move from that house and then you'll be like, Lord have mercy, who bought all this stuff? And then you'll have a yard sale and give it all away. And you'll be like, now we lost money. We did not only did we not relocate it, we lost money on this.
Yeah.
They need to move into an RV. Not much room to hoard stuff there, is there, Al?
That's true.
Well, anyone with hoarding problems, Brother Al is a very experienced RVer, and he can help you. He can help you. He truly can help you learn how to live on the road and enjoy it. All right. Stuff free. All right. You'll be stuff free. What's that mean? Stuff free. Is that like stuffing? Don't get passages on the face. His mom's basement. Well, I'm glad that my mom doesn't have a basement. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That's your dad that put it down there. Yeah, always got to blame dad, don't you? Well, you know, the bottom line is there's a lot of valuables in this world that we need. And the old saying is, if you didn't use it in the last 6 months, keep it 6 months more because you probably will this time. Well, maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe not. You know, it's messed up when the basement's not enough, and so you knock a hole in the wall and you just start digging dirt out so you can set. Somebody goes and gets one of them big culverts like that and sticks it in a little at a time as you dig this. What is a house without a basement and a garage? You move stuff from the house to the basement to the garage, then to the trash for the garbage truck, all right? And when our stuff is just like brand new, usually, so when we donate, it'll be good for someone else. There you go. Well, I don't have a van, Ash, but I do have 6 vacuums out here I'd be glad to share with you. Drive your van to North Dakota. We'll fill it.
Oh, yeah. Well, bring a trailer with you. Maybe a U-Haul. Yeah. Mid-sized U-Haul.
We have 2 beds and 2 mattresses. And we got a really nice table out there on wheels.
Yes,
yeah. It's a nice desk table wheels thing.
Yes.
Kind of desk wheel table kind of thing. And then there's chairs. And we got lamps and table lamps. And we also have Christmas trees, probably 3 or 4 of those. Nice ones. Some of them even already have lights in them.
Some storage containers that are full of things.
But wait. The back of the pickup is not full of storage stuff. We have lots
of Christmas trees, well. In boxes. In children's.
All right, toys. Moving right along. Before we have a fight on the pastor's set, we're going to moving right along now. Oh, that's called the Michigan basement. Yes, it is. Hi, Wilma. We're not talking about the barn you have full of stuff yet.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. We've kind of heard rumors about that, too.
We've just been minding our own business. Like Brother Roger says, you move it from the house into the basement, from the basement to the garage, and the garage out to the garbage. All right. Now, one more encouraging word, and then we're going to get started tonight, okay? Sometimes, if you live in a forward-thinking community, the Salvation of Army
yes.
will actually bring their truck right to your house, and you can fill it up with stuff. And we've done it, you know, I can't keep such a land from grabbing the stuff, so.
So I've had to call them several times to come help. Which they gladly did,
and,
by the way.
And then yesterday we got two really nice chairs to match our island out here.
That is true.
We said about a week ago, we were like, Lord, we need some chairs for our island. And bam, they stuck them right down by the garbage dumpster. Set them right there for us, pick them up. They match the color and everything.
That is true. Most of our house has been furnished. It's a dumpster.
I don't know. We're supposed to be sounding like we're giants of faith tonight.
Well, we are. We use our faith in Ola, it appears. Thank you, Lord. Beautiful free things.
Well, anyways, how about we get started? Anybody ready to get started?
I don't know. This is kind of fun.
Now,
good lift. Keep it going.
Now, on a more serious note, yesterday I had one of my friends yesterday on Facebook. Actually, 2 days ago. It could have been 3 days ago. You never know. But he had his Facebook page completely deleted, unannounced. So today at the noon program, I said, hey, if you haven't backed your Facebook page up with all your pictures, it's a very wise thing to do. So you don't lose them. Now, many of you say, I know, but I got lots of copies of everything that's there. Well, just make sure you do. Your old tractors. Well, there ain't nothing wrong with hoarding old tractors because you got to have some dirt outside the house for that.
Oh, what about that cool tractor?
But anyway. I would agree with that hoardification right there. Tractor, old tractors. That's not hoarding. That's called a collection. And I thoroughly believe that my Folgers tubs are also a collection. If you look at them, they have dates. You know, like they're like January or March 21st, 2020. I mean, that's going to be an amazing date to have on it.
When they were
going to
catch you and Gwen for eating Folgers cans. So I have this year. I have two of this year. I'll give you one.
I was trying to go to somewhere really intelligent, all right, but I didn't get them. But here's the thing. If you go to your Facebook and you go to settings, all right, settings and privacy, you click it, and then it's going to open up another screen and you got to hit settings again. All right, do not do what I just did because then it said leave the page and then you guys all disappear, okay? We don't want that.
Don't do that.
All right. But you go to settings again, and then when you get there, I think it says your personal information. And what does that give you? That gives you the ability to back up, make a backup, all of your Facebook posts and pictures that you have made. Your Facebook information, when you click on that, it'll open up one more page, and then it'll say download your information. This is something that's wise to do on a regular basis, and they'll make a download of it, and they'll send it to you either in a zip drive or something so you actually have access to all those pictures. My friend is not one of those people that posts a bunch of weird things and is shut down. He's never even been to Facebook jail, I don't think. And it just totally deleted. He's a dad. He's a Gold Star dad. His son was killed in action in 2010, and everything that was on his Facebook page is like gone. And so I'm going to just be saying this from time to time to encourage you to do it, because it's just wisdom. And that way, if somebody does something stupid, you still got to copy it, but all. Pastor, do you think somebody's going to do something stupid? I think that there's 1,000 people doing stupid things every day right now. Mm-hmm. I've never seen such stupidity in all my life. How about you?
Oh, my goodness.
Now, an old manure spreader. Now, see?
What about that antique?
See the value of us talking about this? Yes. Brother Al got to Sherry's heart of the need of a manure spreader. And now all these people will be looking for one for him.
Becca already thinks she knows where one's at.
Well, see, now there you go, just like that. See how valuable the hoarding life is? Jesus, help us to get very focused. All right. Are we ready to get started? I think we are. Welcome to everybody. If I missed you, did I see Dan and Gwen here? Dan and Gwen and Dave and Gwen and Ashley, Al Barton, who's that? Oh, Christine Barkley.
Al Barton, who's that?
Dan Cottle, yeah, Dan Cottle's here.
Hi, Dan.
Mary Pastorek's here. Phyllis K. Raymond's here. All right. I'm here and I'm ready. Who said that one? If you know you're in Facebook jail, you know you're telling the truth. I myself have a revolving door on the Facebook jail.
Uh-oh.
Hey, you know, Otis, it's been a while since I saw Barney Fife, but at least Otis would go let himself in the jail and sleep off his drunk.
Yeah.
And you can see people post. They're like, well, I'm in jail. I'll see you guys in a couple of days. Everything's going to be all right. All right. It looks like everything's running along good. So let's rise. We'll honor our troops today, the families of the fallen. And we'll get ourselves started. You know, let me say it one more time. Every time. We honor the troops. I have a folded flag here. Chief Warrant Officer Kenneth Welch. And he's a friend of mine's brother. And he asked me if I would take care of his flag and be there for him and have this flag on his casket when that time comes and make sure that his grandson gets the flag. And there's a reason I'm this serious about this. And I don't say it all the time, but I feel to say it again today. The families of the fallen pay a price for our freedom that we know nothing about unless you're one of them. Because they pay the price of freedom every single day of their life. There is no higher price of freedom that can be paid. And I encourage you to not be, I encourage you to always be patriotic. Remember this fact about patriotism and honoring the fallen. If you don't cause yourself to remember, you will forget. Because you don't live the life. They're not missing from your table. You have a happy family and a happy home. And most of them have learned to live in their lives in a way that they can be happy again. But I don't say this to glorify mourning or sorrow. But it is very much on purpose that we would honor the price that they pay, because right now today, they're paying the price tonight. I can text my son and my daughter and my grandsons, and they'll text me back. But they can't. Brother Mike can't text Ken. And That's a serious price for freedom. And that's why we do what we do. And I'm not making a whole night of it. So here we go. Render your honor. Let's make our Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Now, we'll have a moment of silence. As we remember those who are missing in action, those who paid the last full measure of devotion, those who today bear the scars of battle in their spirit, their soul, and in their body. And for those who stood alongside of them on those days of combat, their battle brothers, this moment of silence will last for 21 seconds in honor of 21 rifle volleys fired, fallen soldier. This moment of silence begins now. Now, if you will, join with me in singing God Bless America. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountain to the prairie, to the ocean, white with foam. God bless America, my home, sweet home. God bless America, my home, sweet home. And now, let's pray for the United States of America. God and Father of every brave warrior down through American history. On this day and every day, we honor those who have paid such a dear price for our freedom. And we thank you, for the liberty, for the justice, for the freedom, for the strength of this American way. Thank you, Lord, that they love freedom and they love this way of life more than their own lives. And although none of them wanted this to be the case, they knew if that's what it meant, they were willing to do it. You said there is no greater love than a man would lay down his life for a friend. You said, by this well, oh man, oh, that you, my disciples, how you love one another. And these love to the very end. You said, everyone who gives up father, mother, sister, brother, houses, and lands for your sake in the gospel will in this lifetime reap a hundredfold return. And you said, blessed are the peacemakers. Lord, bless all the peacemakers with me tonight that want to see liberty and justice prevail, which automatically brings peace to this great nation. We stand in faith tonight and say, forgive us of our sin. Heal our land, Lord. We seek your face. We seek your face. Thank you, Father, for the blessings of liberty that are ours. Bless every father, every mother, every sister, every brother, every husband, every wife, every son, every daughter, every battle brother, every one of our Silver Star families that are wounded in action. With the blessing of the Lord that makes rich and adds no sorrow with it. Right now, we bind the trauma that people have to face because of post-traumatic stress. In the mighty name of Jesus, Jesus, we bind the trauma part of it. And we declare it's nothing but a faint memory. And you restore the years the locusts have eaten, and the memory is removed completely because of your restoration in Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that all across this world, people are standing together in faith for the United States of America to be who we are in this world. And we choose, according to your holy word, to be those people in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you are the same yesterday, the pilgrims on the beach, today, right here, right now, 2021, you are the same. We give you glory, and we give you the honor, and we give you the praise in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, I would like to have you pray these prayers with me here. Speak this out loud in faith, this declaration against the isms. When we were studying building the walls of righteousness, this is the confession that God gave us to speak. It is saved, or it is pinned in the comments. And if when we pin it, it makes it so you can't open the whole comment, just scroll up a little ways till you find the original post, click see more, and you'll be able to see it. To the best of our abilities. To all the isms, it is impossible for you to destroy the United States of America. You have no right or claim or historic authority to our promised land. We know who we are. We will not yield our weapons of protection to you. You may think we have been driven off, but we, the children of God, have returned to our God and have joined together in agreement to rebuild every wall that seems to be torn down in the realm of the spirit and in the natural. And we declare that every weapon you have formed against freedom
comes back on you now.
And every pit you have dug, you fall into it yourself immediately in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 144 in the Passion Translation. Our enemies will not invade our land, and there will be no breach in our walls. These are the walls of building. The walls of righteousness. And now, the Patriot Prayer of Dedication. Pray this from the depths of your heart. As soon as it starts jumping, stops jumping. Ready? Father, help us, the living, to be dedicated to the unfinished work which these fought for and so nobly advanced. Help us be dedicated to the great task that remains before us, that from these honored fallen, we take increased devotion to the cause for which they gave that last full measure of devotion. And we highly resolve that these shall not have fallen in vain, and that this nation under God, experiencing a new birth of freedom right here, right now, today. And this government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from this earth. Long will our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us, Lord, by thy great might. Great God, our King, forgive us of our sin, Lord, and heal our land. We seek your face. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen and amen. You got somebody with them? Give them a high five. Hallelujah. If nobody's with you, give Jesus a high five. Amen?
Amen.
Looks like my mom's with us tonight.
Yay.
Welcome, Mom.
Hello, hello.
It is good to have you with us tonight. It'll be a good night for you to be here. We'll get all your doctrine straightened out.
She with you.
Now, for those of you who've just watched the public act of ridiculousness, do not ever follow those footsteps. What's that?
What footsteps?
The footsteps of saying to your mother, don't worry, I'll get all your doctrine fixed before you leave tonight.
Right. She's probably on her way here right now.
And Brother Mike, I don't see any ladders popping up, but it sure would be nice. Or a sky hook, brother, just a sky hook. I don't know. So we welcome you. Good evening. It's Monday night. Good Monday night to all y'all. Hopefully you thoroughly enjoyed our opening. Actually, it was like a quadalogue because there was a whole bunch of people.
So fun.
And we were having a good time talking about why you hoard all your stuff. Not sure why you guys do that. If you knew the real place you ought to be spiritually, you just let it go. You wouldn't hold on to that stuff. But, you know, it's not something we talk about a lot, but I want to talk about it again tonight. As a matter of fact, it's not I want to. I'm being instructed by the Holy Spirit to do that tonight. So if you will, turn with me to Malachi chapter 3. And I want to talk about the tithe again. Because I am being instructed to. I'm not one that makes a big, huge deal about money. For the simple purpose of I'm not going to be you're not going to be able to point your finger at me and say the man was always begging for money, because I ain't going to do that. Now, we have lots to get done. I guarantee it. We need another piece of equipment in here right now that's sit here between the two of us, that would have a camera pointing that way and a camera pointing this way besides what the computer does. So that when I need to go be alone with the Lord a minute, I can turn the camera on and you can actually see her. And it would make our process a whole lot more clean here than what it is what we have going. But that's going to cost us a couple thousand dollars. And I've not been instructed by God to say, yeah, that's something we got to go after. We're going to be having a tent meeting. That's going to have a budget of itself and some other things. And so it's not something I come to you and talk about all the time. Would you please come and sow seed here? However, I do ask God on a daily basis to help each of you to be the people that he asks you to be. Why? Because if he talks to you and you sow a seed, keep a harvest. If I twist your arm and get a seed, that's just going to be a wrong situation. All right? And so I just want to deal with this again because some people don't understand tithe. And it's a very simple process that we can make very, very easy to understand. And the value of it is immeasurable. It's immeasurable. As a matter of fact, I don't know if Brother Dave's still with us because he usually crashes. He usually goes to sleep pretty early. He's a hardworking man. But I am old enough to say about Dave and Gwen that the result of Dave being able to buy two cars in one day or one weekend, whatever it was, is the result of them being tithers throughout their life. Because when you understand the principle of tithe is not so you can give all your money to God, but it is disconnecting from the world's financial system and hooking into God's financial system. Pay your tithe. It is worship the Lord with that which is his. And now when you worship him with your tithe and offering, he destroys the power of the world system that is trying to force you into poverty, debt, and lack, three demons. And God opens the windows of heaven and pours out a blessing. And God's money is the most interesting money that you'll ever see. Mm-hmm. It's just interesting. There's no way to describe it except you'll look and say, how did what we have do all that? And there's no way it did. But God got involved and multiplied the loaves and fishes. And next thing you know, everything's covered. And you're like, wow, check this out right here. So look at this with Malachi chapter 3. Let's read verses 8 through 12. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, well, wherein have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings, what God said. You are cursed with a curse, for you robbed me, even this whole nation. Now, remember, you and I have been redeemed from the curse of the law. Say it, I am redeemed.
I am redeemed.
Well, you are, so act like it. Verse 10, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And prove me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will open for you the windows of heaven and pour out to you such a blessing, there will not be room enough to receive. I say I receive, not enough room to receive. Amen. That's kind of an interesting statement, isn't it? Look at verse 11. I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord. Now, remember this. God's tithe is 10%. But he's not in heaven saying that you give me 10%, you're going straight to hell. That's not God. Right? God is a God that says, this is my system. This is how it works. This is the world system. This is how it works. All right? When you take your money from the world system and worship God with it, and put it into his system, you transform that money from the world system into supernatural dollars into God's kingdom. And you cripple the power of debt, poverty, and lack in your life from the system of the world. Now, here's why we say this, is why the church says this. Because it is one of the number one ways to get control of things in your life that are way out of control. And that is to begin to worship the Lord with your tithe. It's not a payment. It's not, you write out the light bill, you write out the tithe check, you write out the cable bill. No. You might write out a tithe check. However, it is worshiping the Lord for his system, which is so much farther above what the world system can do. In the world system, you work 1 hour, you get paid X amount of dollars. Right? Mm-hmm. And right now, what was Robert telling us a Tri-4 cost?
Oh, my goodness.
$35 or some crazy thing?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. That's price gouging. All right? God's system says this. Read these verses. Verse 10. bring all the tithes to the storehouse. There will be food in the house. And then God says, prove me in this. I think that's one of the most powerful statements that God makes, one of them that he makes to us. He challenges us to say, I prove you now in this fact. He says it. It's right there. I don't care what translation you got, even the, some of the translusions. It's still going to say something to the effect of prove me. Not of arrogance, not out of anger, not out of cocky arrogance, not out of that way, but saying, I worshiped you with my tithe, and I put you to this test. He said, I'm going to open the windows of heaven, pour out a blessing. What comes out of heaven for you? Angels, right? Angels come and go from the throne. That blessing that's going to come out of heaven is going to be protected by angelic intervention. And then he says, there won't be enough room for you to receive it. I like that. Verse 11. And this is one of the most powerful things about God's system. God rebukes the devourer. That means before destruction ever gets to you, he's got the legs cut off. Before things go wrong, ever takes that enemy out. Why? Because you worshiped him with your tithe and you made that statement, I am moving from the world system over here to God's system. And God, I'm going to bring my money over here to you and put it in your system. And we're going to watch kingdom of heaven grow and multiply. Now watch. I'll rebuke the devourer. All the seed you sow will grow and produce a harvest. 30, 60, and 100 fold. And then I like verse 12. And all nations will call you a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. Verse number 16. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another. And the Lord listened and heard them. That's what you and I are doing. And the God is listening to us. And a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and meditate on his name. And he said, on that day I make them my jewels. I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. That's because we are his servants and we are his sons. Now watch. I encourage you. Be very specifically talking to God about this. If you have a home church, your tithe does not belong here at all. Do not do that. I don't want anybody's money here in this ministry that belongs to somebody else's ministry. We just don't do that at all. All right. However, this is the place the Father has shown you to call your church home. You call me your pastor. And he says, I want you to tithe. You can tithe here. And our Cash App and PayPal's there. You can write a check. Make sure if you write a check, you put my name first before Community of Faith. All right? Makes it easier for it all to come together. Hey, Brother Mike Tony's with us. Bless you, Brother Mike.
Hey, are you still in here?
Brother Mike was the man that pushed me in the pool with tithe. He said, swim, Pastor. I got to pay my tithe somewhere. Bless you, Mike. Love you, man. I declare I have rest even when you're standing up. Now, why are you saying it, Pastor? Well, because I want to see the devourer rebuked in your life. It's one of the most amazing things about God's money. He rebukes the devourer in your life. That means before destruction ever gets to you, he's already got it taken out. And how did he take it out? By you coming to him and worshiping, not paying, you worshiping him with your tithe, saying, I worship you, and I'm glad I'm out of that system, and I'm in the system I worship you right now today. And I'm going to tell you something. All of a sudden, you'll begin to look and say, wow, how does all this stuff come together? Well, what it is God's gone before you, dissolving and destroying the distractions of our enemy. And in so doing,
you can continually do the work of God. God tells you to sow a seed here, sow a seed. Sow a seed. We got lots of stuff to get accomplished. There's more programs to buy. There's more apps we got to have. There's a whole lot more that's got to go on here. And as I keep telling you, we want to hire a couple of employees so that we can be a blessing. And those are going to cost about $75,000 a piece. So if it's in your heart to start sowing that way, you can do that. And we bless you. But the idea is, I really want to say that because there's some people that say, I don't know why my life seems to be falling apart. Well, one of those reasons may be you haven't moved your money from the world system over into God's system. And I'm going to tell you what, as soon as you make that move and you begin to worship God with your tithes and your offerings, this thing changes immediately. For those of you that didn't see that or hear it, that was the Harley, and I could feel him rolling the throttle, so I was helping him a little bit. I think I put a little more throttle in than he did, but hey, you know. Cash App is in the notes.
Kathy is here and Sunday's here.
Miss Kathy is here, mm-hmm. And Sunday guys is here. Well, all right, God bless you guys. Cash App is $HG Preacher Man. HG Holy Ghost Preacher Man. But you can find that right there in the notes of tonight's program. It's in every program. You can find it. And we bless you. And we'll send you a response that we got it. Speak the word of God and faith over you. And you can treat this like you would any other place in God. And watch God move mightily in your behalf in Jesus' mighty name. Is that a good word? Mm-hmm. I got the nod, not the finger.
I was paying attention, really.
Now, I don't know if my mom's still with us, but she's been really giving me the finger here.
I am not the finger. It's the pointer finger.
All right. She's been shaking that finger at me lately going. Now, everybody turn with me tonight to, let's get the notes open here. Let's get the notes open. Let's get the right notes open. How about this for a title? Let's go to school with no grades.
I'm not sure how I feel about that. You'll have to
calm down
a little bit.
Everybody's like, wait. What do you mean go to school? Go to school. What's this go to school stuff all about? Well, all right. Yeah, that's just a catchy title to say. Everybody's like, whoa, I didn't know we had a school situation going on. At DTW, waiting for a plane to GR. Father, in the name of Jesus. Bless our brother in his waiting period of life. Let him know that you're always with him, even when he's waiting. And really, strengthen him supernaturally. Because most of us men, Lord, we don't have a good opportunity to wait. It is time to move. But we thank you that our brother is patient,
yeah.
And he's gentle, and he's loving, and he's kind.
Quiet time alone. There.
All right. Where did I tell you we were going? Did anybody know?
Nope.
All right. Well, where we're going to go is to Luke. Isn't it something that how some of them songs pop up in your mind
from the past. Mm-hmm. As soon as I said, Luke, you know what came to me?
What?
Well, I'm not going to tell you. I don't want to put the song in your mind.
Well, do it. It's like a good song.
It wasn't.
Oh.
Luke chapter 8. Just an old computer I had a while back where I thought I did a well for my sister trying to find a file on an old operating system. Father, please bless Mary with great peace and strength and searchability and help her find that document immediately. I tell you, Mary, many times I just get up and lay hands on that thing and say, you're going to show up because I'm not going to sit here and look.
There you go. Take the million.
Take the million over it. Why? Why sit there and scour through a hard drive when God has the ability to just make it pop right up where you need it? I needed somebody's name the other day. To answer our dear brother Mike with such a very solid biblical question, I have been in DTW waiting on a plane, and I know the intensity of waiting and patience and loving, and I know the desire to reach across the counter and help somebody get an understanding. I should tell you the story. Shouldn't I tell the story?
Oh, go ahead.
Show up, and I'm flying to Houston. Did I tell you where to go? Luke chapter 8 is where we're going, the parable of the sower. And we're going to verses 4 through 18. All right, there. Now the verse of tears got blessed. The whole church come together. We got a bunch of money. I'm going to be at a Holy Spirit conference all week during the day. Or I'm going to be at Dr. Sutton's all week during the day studying the book of Revelation and the Holy Spirit conference at night. And it was all within 20 miles of each other. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
So it's a week filled with anointing and glory. And I arrive at DTW to fly to Houston, and the whole flight is canceled. And the lady, she looked like a nice lady, behind the counter said, sir, the flight is canceled. If you'll go and stand in the back of that line right there, we'll help you as soon as we get to you. I'm like, that's going to take about 4 hours, and my flight's taking off right over there. And I am going to be on a plane to Houston because I put too much into this, and I'm going to Houston. I'm like, isn't there somebody else that'll honor one of my tickets? She goes, well, yeah, if you want to go over there to those guys, they'll honor the ticket. So I ran down over there to those guys, and they're like, no, it's not this desk, so you got to go that way. And I ran down there like that to get to that desk, and I got down there, and I'm like, no, it's not here, it's over there. And I ran over there to do that. And then the guy says, it's not this desk, it's that one. Do you know which one it was?
Where you started.
The one I started out with.
But she kept you occupied for a little while.
But listen, that the flight I was going to be on was leaving in like 22 minutes from when I stood in front of her. Yeah. And I went there, and then I went there, and then I went there, and I went over there, and then they sent me right back to her. And I'm like, hi, ma'am. She goes, and how can we help you? I'm like, I'm going to get my ticket changed so I can be on that flight. Oh, well, yeah, just wait just a minute. I just got to change the paper in the printer. And Brother Mike, out of my mouth, you know how the scripture says, open your mouth and he will fill it? When you need a word to speak, he, the Holy Spirit of God, will help you say the words of the Father. You know what I said?
What did you say?
I said, I'm the most patient man you will ever meet if you can just help me. And she said, well, I can help you. She did something with her paper. She hit a button, printed off my things. And said, here you go. And I wanted to say, what is your problem? But I didn't. I said, well, thank you very much, ma'am. And I ran for that deal. And my suitcase didn't get with me. And I'm on my way to Houston. And wait. I got $50 in my pocket, and I'm supposed to be at the South Houston, whatever, Bush or Hobby. hobbies in the South. But I'm flying to, no, I'm supposed to be at Bush in the North, and I fly to Hobby in the South, and now I got to get from Hobby to Bush to get my rental car, you know? And there's thunder and lightning, and the plane is shaking, but I'm on the plane. I get off at the South Airport, whatever it is. I flag a taxi. I'm like, how much is it to get to the North Airport? And he said, that'll be $55. And I said,
oh, man.
Well, I'm just going to tell you, I'm in a rough way, dude. And I would like to know if you could do it for 50, because that's all I got. And I told him my story. He goes, oh, come on, jump in. I'll do it for 50. And he was nice. Asked me all about my life. And when we got there, he only charged me 45.
Oh, that was great, guys.
Because he said, I don't want you broke. You're going to have to still do something. You might even need a pop, right? Now I got $5. But it's 11 o'clock at night. There ain't no story. There ain't no room open. So, Brother Mike, when I got to that statement to you about patience, I have experienced this, and I literally learned to say, I am the most patient man you will ever meet. And if you'll just help me, I'll stand here and be real quiet. I said that to the lady. All right? I got informed boarding doors closed, then reminded. Then she asked if she was going to have to tell me again. And I'm like, duh, you still see on Facebook typing this very message. Lord, please help our brother to make the plane. Make the Facebook book.
Of course, you're going to have to say it again. So apparently, I have to go before she goes back.
So literally, honestly, I show up and I'm at the car rental place, and I'm like, dude, I need help. And he's like, really? And I got the wrong credit card or something. I don't know. It'll be a half an hour before the 92nd lady. And bless you, brother. We sure love you.
Yeah, we love you, Mike.
Love you with Keith. And the guy in the car place, he goes, oh, man, I know where you're at, dude. I've been there before. How about I give you an upgrade? I'm like, well, hallelujah. It's coming together. All right. Then I get to the hotel where I'm supposed to be staying all week with a discount from Dr. Sutton. And the lady's like, no, we're not giving you that discount. I'm like, you know, I'm supposed to have the discount. And it's supposed to be like 20%. And I'm supposed to have the discount. But they would never give it to me. All right. So then I go see some of my friends. Remember Warren Walsh that we prayed for?
Oh, yeah.
Warren's down there. I go see him. And while I'm seeing Warren, I lose my airplane tickets. Yeah, I just lose them. And I don't know what's wrong with Warren, why he didn't look in his room, because he didn't find them either. So when the whole week's done, we've had a glorious week of anointing. I'm going back to the airport now, and I'm standing there, and I said, ma'am, I really need help. I got there way early because I know I'm in a situation. I'm like, I'm going to show up early. And I'm like, I really need some help. And she goes, what? I'm like, I lost my tickets. And I don't have any way to get any, you know, I don't, you know. She goes, well, I don't think we can help you. She said, let me go check. She walked back from somewhere and she come back up. And when she got ready to say, we can't help you, this other guy steps up and says, how can I help you, sir? I said, I lost my tickets. He goes, all right, I got you. And he prints them. He was an angel. He was. I know
wow.
he was. I said, thank you.
Jesus.
Now, wait. The story is not done. I know you wanted to hear the story tonight, all right? Remember, this is a man who has learned to say all week long, I am the most patient man you'll ever meet. If you'll just help me, I'll stand right here and be real quiet. So I go find my door, my boarding door, you know, I find where I'm supposed to be. And I'm standing there watching the plane because I like planes. And this lady walks up and stands behind me. And her name was Bertha Bucketmouth, I'm telling you. Yeah. She's screaming and she's hollering and she's yakking. And I'm watching them on this. And there's something wrong with the plane. I can tell the way the guys are acting. There's something wrong with that plane. Pretty soon, here comes the lady over the intercom. Those of you that are on flight, we're going to have to delay the flight for X amount of time because the door won't close. The door won't seal. This lady, Bertha Buckingham, she's cussing and screaming, I never fly in these angly blank 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 blank. And I'm like, ma'am, did you hear what the lady said? It's the door. Wait, it's not like the potty's broke. It's the door ain't closing. You know what happens at 35,000 feet when the door flies open? And there's a bunch of people that's doing this out there, doing the squirrel suit. So I left. I'm like, Jesus, I'm getting away. And so then they called back. That thing ready. And now the wheels broke. And I'm like, oh, Jesus, Lord have mercy. And she's after him. Now they're giving us food coupons to go eat somewhere, you know. And pretty soon I'm like, next thing they're going to do is bring a sleeping bag, and we're going to be sleeping in the airport, you know.
You're going to be listening to her for 24 hours.
So I don't know. An hour and a half later, they call us back. And I'm like, well, everybody's going to be frustrated. I'm staying outside this plane until the lady looks at me like Brother Mike and says, are you boarding this plane? And I'll say, yes. Why? Because then everybody's in their seat and all the frustration has settled down and we're all becoming peaceful. And I walk down the aisle. And do you know who I'm sitting next to?
Bertha.
Sweet, loving, angry Bertha Bucketmouth. And I am thinking, my God in heaven, what kind of a trick is this? All right. No, wait. The story is not over. All right. The story is not over because we're still in Houston and we got to get to Atlanta and then to Detroit. So I got a ways to go. And I'm next to Bertha. Right. So we start down the runway. Oh, Jesus, I love you. Oh, Jesus, I love you. I'm so glad you're my Lord and Savior. I'm thinking, you lying dog. You were just cussing them out a minute ago. You ain't no Christian. Who do you think you are calling on Jesus right now?
Oh, my goodness.
I hope you're enjoying my story because I'm sure I'm enjoying telling it. Goodness sakes alive.
Was she quiet the rest of the flight?
Oh, no. That was Jabberbox-a-mania there, you know. We get off the ground and we're flying in the air. And I'm like, so, ma'am, where are you coming from? Well, these blankety blank blanks. She's cussing again after she just prayed to Jesus. She's cussing. And I flew all the way from Vegas. I'm out there gambling all week. I'm thinking, oh, my Lord, Jesus, don't strike the airplane. I'm in it. You won't strike because of me.
Oh, my goodness.
The pilot comes on and says, we're in severe turbulence. Fasten your seatbelts. It's going to be a bumpy ride. Oh, blankety blank blank Jesus, blankety blank blank. Like, Lord, what have I done to what it this trip? Woo, Jesus, Lord have mercy.
Oh my God. What a trip.
Bet
you're exhausted for days after.
I wasn't. I was so glad to get off the plane. It was refreshing. I was really glad to get off that plane.
Oh,
What's the, that's kind of a letdown, Pastor. What's the moral of the story?
What is it?
Well, if all else fails, learn to say very calmly, I'm the most patient person that you will ever meet. Can you please help me? Because sugar attracts more flies than vinegar. And a hug always goes farther than a punch in the face.
So they all have their appropriate time.
And I can tell some of you are about to say, and I can tell you haven't flown in a few years, have you? No, I haven't. That was probably like 2005 or something, three, who knows, a long time ago. That was a bad enough trip to solve it until I had my own. I don't have to deal with that situation. Anyways, it was a good trip, and it was wonderful anointing, and Dr. Hilton Sutton taught the book of Revelation in such powerful force that I'm still to this day studying the same things he gave us. I've been through it about 10 times with him now. And he's the man who totally solved all my frustration with the book of Revelation. And I'll help you solve your problem with the book of Revelation. You ready? It's not the book of confusation. It's the book of Revelation.
Amen.
Which means it is a revelation of Jesus Christ to the church. So, if it's causing you confusion and you try to read it, well, then, you know, talk to us. We'll help you see it. All right? But the book is a book of revelation. It's who Jesus is. The whole book is about Jesus. And literally, when you get done, you're going to want to go win people to Jesus. All right? Listen to this. This is what you see. Things happening on earth. Things happening in heaven. There's two different places, locations, things happening. So you got the earth and Antichrist and the devil and all that down here. And you got heaven, the marriage supper of the Lamb and everything that's going on up there. You've got the Jews on the earth, the Christians in heaven, and the wicked and the wrath of God. Now, that's all part of the book of Revelation. All you got to do is get the right chapter in the right place. Understand that this chapter, even though it's not in chronological sequence, this chapter is talking about heaven. And this, matter of fact, these three chapters talk about what's happening in heaven. These three chapters are talking about what's going on earth. And this is the other thing that Dr. Sutton said to me, that you got to learn to use for every doctrinal stance you ever have in the Bible. And that's simple. Anything you try, any doctrine you try to build on assumption will always fail and come short and be filled with man. Because you cannot build on what you know. And when it's an assumption, it's about what you don't know, so you can't build a doctrine on. So don't even try. There's a no trespassing sign on assumptions. Do not go there. No fishing allowed. They're big blobs when you catch them, and they're just an assumption. Hi, Velma. Welcome. Sister Phyllis Raymond said, Jabberbox mania. I think. It's not Becky back up mouth, because we got too many of those. It's Bertha. Oh, Becky was.
So funny. Chris is here too, Dennis.
Chris Dennis, welcome, Chris. It's not always this much fun. Sometimes these people go crazy around here. Now, Pastor, what was the value of telling us that story? The value of it was, the purpose of it was
You're empathizing with Brother Mike. We're learning empathy.
Yes, we were helping Brother Mike in his patience and his love and in his joy. Well, you know, the bottom line is you can learn anything from anybody, any your heart open to learn. Amen? And the thing I learned immediately, and it's what most of us men do not say, and very seldom do you ever hear a woman say it, and that is, I am the most patient being you'll ever meet.
What did you say about a woman,
too? Well, see, women are very impatient because they have microwaves and they know how to cook and, like, cook it now.
I think we're very patient. We just like things done on time.
And now, please pray for the pastor and his house. So that... Moving right along now. Oh, no. How about when you say you're patient, God tested you? He wasn't testing me.
There you go. He
was standing on the side watching, laughing, going, check this out. Check it out.
You were supposed to be diffusing that hostile atmosphere that she was putting out.
I did. I told her, this plane's going to be all right because I'm on it. Obviously, you're going to hell, but I'm not. No, I didn't say that. Now, what are we doing tonight, Pastor? Well, we're going to talk about the parable of the sower again. Because remember, every action you take is sowing a seed. That's where we're at.
Patience is a great one to
patience know. Is, you know, the old saying is patience is a virtue. Possess it if you can. Seldom found in men, never found in women.
That isn't a saying.
Yes, it is. You've never heard the statement?
No.
Well, it's not true because patience isn't a virtue. Patience is the fruit of the Spirit. So it's not a true statement. It's just one that many people make. I'm really trying to get to the word. You ready? All right. We are going to read out of Luke chapter 8. And the title God gave me, let's go to school with no grades. I had somebody last night ask for the 10 verses. And I sent them to them. And I've never had this statement come to me before when I sent them. But this is what the Holy Spirit said to me. Say this. This is what he said to me. Tell them this isn't about grades. Remember how school was about grades? Remember how you go to college, it's all about grades? Remember how when you go to college and high school and school, it's all about grades and you're compared to the brainiacs sitting in the corner that don't know how to go hunting, fishing, trapping, ride a motorcycle, snowmobile, bike, or even play softball?
But they can read really well.
But they can read and memorize stuff. Ripley, looks like you're sleeping. No, there's no doghouses around here. He sleeps right on underneath the exercise machine.
Or in his recliner. He has his own recliner in our room.
No. So here's one of the things we got to learn in the kingdom. We were talking about it on Saturday night a little bit, but it's a different point of view tonight. There's no grade. Nobody's grading you on anything you do in the kingdom. Nobody. Well, aren't you, Pastor? Well, no. Why? What if you miss the lesson that's right in front of you? What are we going to do? Flunk you? Send you to the back of the line? Stand you up in front of the class by the chalkboard and make you give another wrong answer? All those stupid things that happen at school that should never happen? Watch this. Our place in everybody's life in the kingdom is to believe in you. And to help you sort out the words that you hear inside of yourself. Mary Pasterick had a powerful statement she made, a month ago. She said, I got to learn the difference between God the Father's voice and my earthly father's voice, because there's two different voices. Now, I had a good dad, but my dad's voice and God the Father's voice, two different voices. And I love my dad very dearly, and I'm so glad I got to be there when he crossed over, watch him take his last breath and head to heaven, man. It was amazing. It was amazing. And that night, we're out in the backyard, and by the fire pit, you know, we're glad that he's on the other side and all the frustration and the trial and all that junk's over. And there's a couple of us standing out there in the backyard by the fire pit. And I'm like, hey, Dad, show us a thing, man. And three shooting stars. Wait, it was probably Dad and Uncle. Wait, I guess Dad was first, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Uncle Paul. Uncle Stan, that's who it was.
Yeah.
They were going. They were shooting stars right above us. Yeah, I don't know if you can make that sound, but it's a really cool one to make. What does that have to do with this right here? I love my dad. My dad was an amazing man. He's a man of God, all right? But the voice of God is different than the voice of your dad, even if you got a good one. And what we got to learn to do is, what if you just failed at the last thing you were trying to get accomplished? And you're like, man, I did not get that done at all. What is the father going to do? He's going to say, well, let's look at it. Let's do this and this and this and this. Remember? Remember to do this, 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 and this. All right? Let's talk about being a Christian. Make sure you're paying your tithe. Wait, make sure you're worshiping the Lord with your tithe so you're out of the kingdom of the world. Make sure you're in the Bible, whether you're reading chapter a day. Make sure you're speaking the word every day. Make sure you're forgiving your brother, and you're being a minister of reconciliation everywhere you go. And let's remember this. You are more than a conqueror in Jesus Christ, filled with the Holy Spirit of God. You are always going to win. What do? We, the body of Christ, help you win. That's who we are. That's what we do. And this is how we do it.
Amen.
Now watch. Does anybody know where we are?
Verse 4.
Luke chapter 8, verse 4. Let's read it. We'll just read it. I got about 5 comments to make, and we'll be done. We might be done by like 8:30 or something. I guess we missed that. Luke chapter 8, verse 4. And when a great multitude had gathered, come to him from every city, he spoke by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. It was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on the rocks, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. The seed can die. It can spring, but that's all it is. It's going to die. Verse 7, some fell among thorns. The thorns sprang up and choked it. Others fell on good ground. Say it with me. I'm good ground. Want to do it? Say
this word
is going into this good ground and producing this good harvest. Amen. And all y'all are a great example of it, because look at all of us grow together. Proof that this is working. Verse, when he had said these things, he cried out, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear. He didn't say, does anybody here have ears? That's not what he said. He said, he who has an ear to hear. That means don't just look for information and intellectualization. Grab the revelation. God don't give two hoots about how much intellectualism you have. Because you can be the most intellectual person and quote all the doctrines of every great leader of every era of time, and not know how to make this book work. And what have you got accomplished in your life? But absolutely nothing. You want faith to move mountains, right?
Yes, amen.
You want to live successful in your daily life, right? That's how that is. Verse 9. The disciples ask him later, saying, what does this parable mean? He said, to you, it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to the rest, it has not been given. Say this with me. God wants me to know the mysteries.
God wants me to know the mysteries.
I want you to know something. That's not about the A+, A-, B+, B or B-. A C plus C or C minus, that's not about a D plus D or D minus, and ain't about an F or an E or a zero. God don't care about that. Man does. And that's the only way you're gonna get the educated excellence of accomplishment of a high school diploma. All right? However, they're learning and they gotta change it because not everybody learns at the same pace in the same way. And isn't it something if we help people learn like they're designed by God to learn, all of a sudden everybody has a genius all their own. Say it with me. I have a genius that God put inside of me that is designed for this earth right here. That's our place to help find that genius. And the way we find that genius is we get you busy doing something in the kingdom and all of a sudden it comes to the top. Now watch. Verse 11, the parable of the seed is the word of God. Did you get all that?
Yeah.
Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Right now, as we read this word, it's a seed going into your heart. Wait, not a fact. Not a principle. A seed is called the living word. The word, Jesus, in heaven, he's called the word. He came to this earth and became flesh and dwelled among us. And then he wrote it in a book. So say this with me. The seed is Jesus. And where are you sowing Jesus? Into your heart. Making sense. All right. The seed is the word. But see, the word made flesh is Jesus. So literally, what are you doing? You're sowing Jesus in here. What you're sowing into your heart is a relationship with Jesus. And how do you get it? By reading this book. I like it when Mary sends me email with questions. You guys ready to be up all night? We might answer all the questions right now tonight. Why are we going here, Pastor? Because if we're not careful, you're going to begin to say, well, let's see. Now we got to memorize. What are the four types of seed? Everybody tell me what kind of seed you are. And please tell me the soil that you are. And here's 14 principles to guess what kind of soil you are. Wait a minute. That is good, but Jesus just said, he who has an ear to hear the revelation, get it. And that ain't he didn't say he who knows all four types of soil. He didn't say those who know all the different kinds of rocks and can say what they are. He said, he who has ears, let him hear and get a revelation. You know what changes your life about this group? We live for revelation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wait. We don't live for revelation of a religious indoctrination. We live for revelation of who and how there's a manifestation of Jesus into our lives that produces the seed that's going to bring full Hallelujah. Here we go. Number 11. The seed is the word of God. Those by the waysides are the one who hear, and the devil comes and takes away the word. Who's coming for the word? The devil. Does he actually have power to take your word away from you? No. You and I are the ones that let him take the word. Oh, yeah, Mary, that's the case, sure. See, one of the things that happens to you as this parable begins to work and you're throwing the rocks out of your garden, pulling out the thorns out of your garden, tilling up the wayside and making all the dirt really good, and you plant them seeds and it begins to grow a harvest, that harvest is going to be faith, and the enemy can see faith. And so he thinks that means he should shoot fiery darts and take the faith away from you. Don't let him have your seed. All those fiery darts are lies. This is what they sound like. Well, you didn't learn it like so-and-so. That is not you. That is our enemy using condemnation like a bow and arrow and shooting a flaming missile. How about this? Well, you never did good in school. It don't matter if that was first, second, third, fourth, or tenth grade teacher saying it, whose voice you hear, that's a fiery dart shot from a missile saying, you're too dumb to get it, and you just need to go ahead and say, Mr. Devil, you're too dumb to come at me, because I got the word of God, and it's going to stay in my heart. Anytime a condemning word comes to you, do not take it from the inside of you, because our Father's not going to condemn you. I'm not going to condemn you. Our Father loves us enough to help us change, but he ain't never going to condemn us. Never. Condemnation comes from the devil. That's why in our communion prayer that we pray, we say, by the blood of Jesus, the accuser of the brethren is cast down. Why? Because we got to get that condemnation and that spirit of condemnation outside of your system. So you no longer let condemning words stop you from being able to receive the things of God. Can I get an amen in Jesus' mighty name? Don't you love this?
I do.
Say this with me. Jesus is the living word.
Jesus is the living word.
And I'm sowing a relationship with him into my life. Now, all through Jesus' ministry is the phrase, and many believed in him all through his ministry. Why? He was teaching the word, and as he taught them the word became flesh, dwelt among us. And what they begin to learn is a relationship with the word of God. He is the living word. So all of a sudden, if you and I start looking at the word of God and the ways of God, and we quit looking at this book like it's an English composition class or a Bible geography class, wait, a church history class, a theology class where I study the doctrines of all the theological. No. This is the living, breathing life of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and he makes it to become word that will literally come inside you as you speak it, as you read it, as you study it, as you meditate. It literally comes alive on the inside of you. And all of a sudden you realize, I'm not having a relationship with a verse. I'm having a relationship with Jesus, the living word. Now Ready? Watch this. Now, when you sit down with the word, it's no longer a condemning thing that I didn't read enough chapters. You just sit down here and say, Jesus, what part of you am I going to, are you and I going to be dealing with right now tonight? And then whatever he tells you, that's what you do. Some of you, it would be good to just get the verse list from us. Sister Shannon does a good job with it. And then Sister Wilma takes it and actually builds a document out of it.
Oh my goodness.
And does a really good job with that. And it's just powerful gift you're using, Wilma. It's amazing. And some of you, it might be good for you to just study that verse list of verses. And then just read it and read it and read it. Why? Because in that process, you're like, you're saying, well, wait a minute. Why do I have to worry about the whole book when this set of verses and this thought process is changing my life? Right? That's why I recommend you get the 10 foundation verses and you get an understanding of them. Why? Because they're the very basis of your Christian life. And then from there, now you can build and say, well, wait, everything in the Christian life is on this basis that I have been made a new creation. All things have passed away. All things have become new. My sins are not imputed against me. And I have been made a minister of reconciliation where I can now go out and reconcile others to find God.
Yeah.
In that process, I tell them your sins will not be imputed against them. And you are literally a minister of reconciliation, which now makes me an ambassador of the kingdom of heaven. Why? Because Jesus made you into his righteousness.
Amen.
The foundation verses of the kingdom of God. Now that we got you righteous and the old things have passed away and all things have become new, now we can begin to show you the parable of the sower. And that is, as you sow this word into your heart, all of a sudden it begins to grow into this beautiful relationship, which is Jesus. And no longer are being, you'll never again be a religious person. You might have had much religious indoctrination in your past. Many times that's more of a hassle to get over than somebody who was just a straight-up sinner. Because you were taught many things about the Bible that just wasn't even true. And so what are we doing? We're teaching you about the Word of God. Now, here we go.
Wait, read Christine's statement. That is very good.
Do what?
Christine made a statement.
All right. My best friend calls it a treasure hunt. You get one question answered and have 10 more questions. So you go digging through the Word to find the treasure. I love that. In the book of Proverbs, it says it's the glory of God to conceal a matter. And it's the glory of the king to search it out. And you and I have been made kings and priests unto our God. So there's a glory. Say this with me. There's a glory of God that comes upon me as I search out the word. Wait. Time out. Everybody listen. Wilma Tony, there's a glory of God that falls on you when you're searching out the word. Christine Barkley, there's a glory of God that falls on you when you begin to seek out. That's a big word. The word. Sunday Geyser, Chris Geyser, Rich, there's a glory of God that comes upon you. Mary Pasterick, there's a glory of God that comes upon you when you study the word. Becca Chapman, Ashley, there's a glory of God that comes on you when you're studying the word. Not a person standing up front at a chalkboard with a ruler saying, "Ain't you getting it? Are you getting it? How can you be so dumb?" No, there's a glory that comes on you as you study the word.
Yeah, amen.
Dan and Gwen Cottle, Dave and Gwen Sweeney, Mike and Shannon and Tony, Brother Robert Mulderman, who else got here with us tonight? Audrey Van Gessel and Tony, and Velma Osborne and Joy and Mikey and Claire. There's a glory on you guys. And it, I love this. Kathy Kite and Garoni. There's a glory on you guys. We got a good bunch of folks here tonight. Phyllis K. Raymond, she's got a glory. Watch out. That'll get all over you. You'll like it, too. Let me see. Anybody new? Anybody else? Anybody else?
Chris Dennis.
Chris Dennis is with us. There's a glory on you, Chris. Now watch. Go to, hold your place here and go to Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1. Isaiah 60. Come on, hurry up. We don't have time. You guys have been laughing, telling stories all night.
Thank you for your patience with us.
Now, if you're listening and I didn't call your name, well, then somewhere show us your name so I can call it. Text me or something. There we go. Dale, I bless you. Brother John Wayner, we bless you, brother. Wherever you are, Dan and Gwen, Dave and Gwen, Mike and Gwen, Steve and Gwen, Bill and Gwen. All the Gwens. They must be really good students of the word, those Gwens. Anyways, Isaiah 60, verse 1, look at this. Arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord is risen on you. How cool is that?
I love it.
Look at what it says. Darkness is going to cover the earth. Would you reckon we're there? I think we're there. Darkness is covering earth. And gross darkness, the people of the earth. Yeah, I think we're there.
Some of them are pretty dark.
I think we're there. Yep. Don't get near the darkness. Run to the light. All right? But the Lord will arise over you. Not as a lording over you. I'm going to beat you down. He's your Lord and Savior. He's the living word. He's coming up on the inside. Can I get an amen from anybody?
Amen, amen.
Look at verse 3. The Gentiles, those that don't know Jesus yet, those that are wandering like sheep without a shepherd, will come to the brightness of your shining. How cool is that? Lift up your eyes all around and see. They gather together. They're coming to you. Your sons and your daughters will come from afar. Then they will see and become radiant, and your heart shall fill with joy because the abundance of the sea will return to you. The wealth of the Gentiles will come to you. The trucking companies come to you, and they bring gold and incense, and they proclaim the praises of the Lord. Look down here in verse 9 at the last statement. Because he has glorified you. Back to Luke chapter 8. See what happens, guys, is the more of God, Jesus, which is the word we put in here, the more the glory shines. I said it this morning during the morning program. Think about this. There's people that talk about what do they call them? Toxic relationships. You lose your voice. Ain't nobody in God lost their voice. You don't lose your voice in God. You get your voice in God. No matter what relationship has ever been around you. Why? Because you get to speak the will of God and the word of God. Sometimes people give up on their dreams. Well, in the kingdom of God, that toxic stuff don't work over here because ain't nobody in the kingdom going to be toxic. Why? Because we want you to go after your dreams. That's pretty good, isn't it? Some people feel defective. Are you kidding me? The glory of God and the very Jesus Christ of Nazareth and the Holy Spirit live on the inside. Anything that comes against that power, that strength, that glory, that anointing, call it what it is, a fiery dart of the enemy, and crush that sucker with the word of God in the mighty name of Jesus. Well, I feel terrified, and I feel defective. Well, guess what? Arise and shine, for your light has come. There ain't no defect left in you. Woo! Well, Pastor, you can't get healed that quick. The woman with the issue of blood did that fast. Jairus' daughter did that fast. Huh? The Syrophoenician lady said, you called me a dog. That's all right. I get the crumbs. And he says, your daughter's healed. And the daughter was in Syrophoenicia, not where she was. Somebody ought to shout amen or something. I'm going to get up and run around the whole building and let Sister Leanne do the rest of the teaching right now. See, when we realize that this word that we're getting, you don't ever have to worry about, am I going to spell all the words right? What if I miss punctuation? Well, wait a minute. If you're going for a degree and somebody's got all that in their degree and it's a degree, well, then when you get degreed, you'll have your degree. And now what? That doesn't make you have a better relationship with God.
It doesn't mean nothing.
If you have a degree, praise God. Tell me what it is. I'll use all of it in the kingdom. All right? I've got 5 years of Bible college and no degree. And I really don't care. You know why? Because your relationship with God is not built on time or grade or an educational status or a classroom or a study. It's based on the Word of God coming alive and well on the inside of you. And that's what Jesus is teaching right here. Get your soil right, so that the word can stick.
Amen.
So what did he just talk about? Stony ground, thorny ground, and wayside ground. Remember the three parts of soil? You got to get fixed. What is it? Wayside is where everybody walks. Pound, 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 pound. It's hard. So the seed will land there, and the bird will come and eat it. Right? What do you got to do? Take the plow to it. Take the hoe to it. Take the rototiller to it. Huh? Take the 85-foot wide plow and drill and disc and harrow to it.
Yeah.
So that soil's like powder. What do you do next? Pick the rocks. Throw them out. Guess what a rock garden is a testimony of? A wise farmer who took the rocks and got them out of the garden and put them in a nice, beautiful place and made a beautiful decoration to prove he's a good farmer. I'm preaching better than all y'all running around the house. So you got wayside, and you got stony, and then thorny. Thorny's the one that all of us got to work on. Why? Because thorny, let's look at it. 14. Now the ones that fell among the thorns, just let them lay there and die. Don't you know that's where the snakes are, Pastor? Yeah, that's what they told me in Kentucky. They said, hey, the raspberries are on. Want to go pick them? I'm like, yeah, I'm a good raspberry picker. My mom taught me to pick raspberries. So they get the buckets and everything. We're getting ready to go. And they're like, now before we leave.
Uh-oh.
I'm like, oh, Jesus. Here we go. This is that Eastern Kentucky. Now before we leave talk. They're like, the berry bushes is where the snakes like to crawl. Like, what? They're like, yeah, when little birds come and land to eat a berry, they got their lunch. I'm like, there's a snake crawling up these things, and you're going to go pick berries? They're all like, yeah, pay attention. You'll be able to see them. I'm like, you got a fire can with you?
Yeah, or a shovel something.
You see, these were rattlesnakes and copperheads. You don't want to get anywhere close to them. I said, let the stupid things have the berries. Burn them down. I hate snakes.
Me too.
Anyways.
Mary says, so how do we rototill our ground?
How do you rototill the ground? You come here and I get a rototiller. I'll tear it up for you. Good question, man.
It is a good question.
That's how you do it. When you look in the mirror and you see yourself and you see that part of you, they're like, why did I just do that? You say, well, I'm going to go find some verses on it. And I'm going to tear that out of my life. Because I ain't having no cockabirds in my life. I'm not having no rocks in my life. I'm going to have a beautiful garden with flowers in it and rocks in it. And I'm going to be able to walk by and say, see how good that dirt is? Because I'm digging the stuff out of my life. You ready? Watch this. Watch. We said this morning. Let's see, this quadrant of your test is offense. This quadrant of your being is anger. All right? Let's say your right leg is confusion. All right? Let's say your left leg is the lust of the flesh. Well, when you first come to Jesus, he just receives you how you are, right?
Yep.
But in the fact he receives you how you are, he ain't never going to let anybody stay the same. So anybody teaching the doctrine that says Jesus just accepts you how you are and he doesn't really care whether you change or not, liar, liar, pants are on fire, and oh, how I wish it was true. Because then you'd know who all the liars are. They'd walk around, psh, oh, that guy's a liar. Keep hanging out. They're scorched. You're a pretty bad liar too, aren't you, Hoss? Yeah, but I learned my lesson. It's called hot cross buns, and I ain't lying no more, see? If it wasn't just a nursery rhyme. But see, the point of everything I just said is this. Can you imagine when you get all offense out and the Holy Spirit of God fills that part of you? Man, can you imagine when you get all hatred out and now the Holy Spirit of God fills all that side out? Remember when the left leg was the lust of the flesh and you get all that out of your life and it's filled with the Holy Spirit? And I remember what the other one was, but it was something bad. And you get all that out of your life and now your whole being is filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Guess what you have done? Worked up the soil, worked up the soil, worked up the soil. And no matter what you see when you look in the Word, you're going to see Jesus. Let's deal with that. And you'll say, how? And he'll say, well, you got to get rid of this and that and forgive them and do that and go over here and do that and forgive them and say that and don't say that. Don't do that anymore. And let's do that. And watch this. All of a sudden, you're like, wow, that was pretty easy to get free from. It is very easy to get free from. Unless you got to throw some stupid psychology thing in the middle of it.
Right.
That tells you to hang on to it for a long time. Stop holding on to anything that's the flesh. Don't hold on to it. Call it what it is, flesh, and get rid of it. Why? Because as soon as you do, you get that much more filled with the Spirit of God. Do we look like we're bored and have no fun?
Nope.
Are you kidding me? We love life. If you ever see me, and it's cool, I'll have on the coolest leather jacket you ever saw. It is well worn. It has 70,000 miles on it in the wind and the rain and the elements riding my Harley. I am not a stick in the mud. I am not weird, old, nasty, stupid, ignorant, or any of the rest of that stuff. We have a blast with our life. Why? Because we got the junk out. Say it with me. I'm getting the junk out.
I'm getting the junk out.
Just get it out. Wait, as soon as you see it, get rid of it. Just get rid of it. Wait.
So much to say in such a little amount of time.
Okay, I'm walking out to the kitchen, and I'm going to pick up the coffee pot, and Sister Lane will talk for a little bit, and when I come back, it'll all be right, all right? My mind will have, woo, and we'll be, yeah, whoa. step not being equal is rough when it's been a lifetime. Now, I'm lost in the lag because I have no idea what that means. Sister Leanne? Yeah. Amen. 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 That's good, Ashley. Has anybody sent you the song Graves in the Gardens? I'm just asking you because it's one of them songs that is very exemplary.
Really?
Woo! I'm trying to preach my last half an hour of tonight. I'm trying to get it done in about 5 minutes. Did you get it? I hope so because, amen. Are you ready to go? Oh, I'm getting there one step at a time. I got you, Mary. Thank you. Yeah, somebody grab that in YouTube and send it right over so she can grab it. It's a great song that explains that very thing that you're doing. It's called Graves in the Garden. It's a good song, powerful song, modern day song of what we got. Oh, my Lord Jesus. Woo! Hallelujah. Wait. See, Jesus is teaching the disciples, if you, and everybody, if you don't understand this parable, wait, he didn't say get an A on the quiz. He said, if you don't get the understanding of this parable, how to get the rocks out, get the thorns out, get the wayside tilled up, you won't understand any of the rest of the parable. Everything is based in this parable. Time to spring clean. I am clean out all the junk and opening my soul and heart to the Holy Ghost, Jesus and our Lord.
Amen.
You know what's so cool? Now, let me say this again because we got new people. Just make sure you don't say your sins here. Everybody watch. Everybody look up for a second. Your sins and what you've done wrong don't need to be shared with anybody.
Nobody says no.
There's only one place you take your sin, and that's to the Savior. And he immediately says, I don't do no good with me. Psh, wiped away. And he makes you literally the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And now, all of your actions of your nature are a new creation. And all that old junk now is just pictures of what used to be. And all you got to do is look at the devil and say, that ain't me. Shoot one at him. And when he says, and he brings another, say, well, that ain't me. What are you doing? Every time you say, that ain't me, you're speaking in faith. And what does faith do? Faith moves the mountain. Faith causes faith to grow. Faith causes you to be developed. You can be rewarded for your faith. It's like she went and found it herself. I declare right now in Jesus' name, the phone is doing what it's supposed to do. I declare right now in Jesus' mighty name. Woo! I have no idea where I'm at, but I'm somewhere close. Anyways, enough of that. Oh, my goodness. It's alive. I lost all y'all. Where'd you go? Anyways.
Oh, okay. It's her favorite song.
Wow. Anyways, so the point is this. Mary's question was, how do you till up the soil? You continually open up this book and meditate in the verses. The more you meditate, the more that soil will be tilled up. and it will produce great abundance every time you stick a seed in it, which is what we're doing. If we're sowing seed right now, I'm sowing seed in your life right now. Love, just talk for a minute so I can find myself where I'm at here.
There it is. Yeah.
Isn't that something? Don't even give me my own. I'm just lost.
You're right here, love. We can see
I that. Made it. I made it back. I made it. Now, what is this whole thing about? Let's look at verse 15 and we'll be done. The ones that, no, we won't be. I got to do 14 and 15. Ready? Now, the ones that fell among the thorns are those who have heard the word. They go out filled with joy, but they're choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and they bring forth no fruit. See, Jesus' whole point here is not that you get an A, a B, a C, a D, or E. It's are you producing fruit? And the cool thing about him is he'll just keep pruning you until fruit can actually be produced. Mm-hmm. And the thing you and I got to do is just say, prune away, Jesus. Cut it out, man. I don't want none of that junk inside of me. Think about it. Wow. Think about being so powerful in the Word of God and revelation. Think about it. That all you have all day long is just total and complete and absolute peace. Think about that fact. Think about the fact that all day long it is possible to have nothing but total peace in your life. Think about how you get to spend every single day of your life in total peace. And have no fear of anybody finding something out about you. Why? Because you ain't lying. You ain't cheating or stealing. That's cheating. And it's also steating. It's chilling or steating. I didn't know if you guys knew that or not. But both of them are really good words, all right? So here's the thing. God is the one that's helping you get rid of it. You don't have to come to me and say, Pastor, I did this, then. Guess what? When you show up to Jesus, he does not require you to confess every single sin that you have done. How can you do that? He doesn't. He asks you when you come to him to receive him. Your first step is not confess and repent. Your first step is receive. And he says, to as many as receive him, he gives them the power to become a child of God. And you're like, all right, so I receive you. All right, you're a child.
Well, hallelujah.
Look, I'm a child of Almighty God. Yeah, yeah, you are. Wait, that was like real easy. Yeah, it is. It is. And then you know what he says? And on top of that, all that sin stuff you can't beat, watch this. Boom! He makes you in righteousness. Wait, he doesn't expect you to earn and educate and learn righteousness. Because nobody on the face of the earth can do that. If you don't receive his righteousness, you don't get to be righteous. Because everything else is self-righteousness. And there ain't no self-righteousness, folks, in heaven. Ashley, watch this. From the moment you came here and prayed your first prayer back in God, it's all wiped away. On earth, there's still some relationships with people and things you got to deal with, right? But God, it's all wiped away. And now the only thing he's got to help you do is learn how to put it in the right category. That situation, wow, if I hadn't done that and that, that wouldn't happen. But guess what? From this point on, I'm doing this and this. So that means that will never happen in my life again.
Yep. And he will help put that.
And he's the one that helps you put it all in.
Yep.
Everybody here has a past. That's why your past and what you did is not important to this group of people. Our place is to see you as a beautiful woman of God. Just like we see Sister Leanne as one, brother, Sister Phyllis as one. I'm done asking names. All right, I'm going to get Brother Phyllis. That's a bad name for a man. That's like a boy named Sue. You just don't do that, okay? Say this with me. I am good ground. Now, thorns are the things of our daily life, the deceitfulness of riches, the desire for other things, the cares of this world. And right here, it says the pleasures of life. Is there anything wrong with having pleasure in life? No. Not a thing wrong with it. At all. But when the pleasure of life overtakes all of the rest of your life, now we got it out of order. And we have to bring it back in order. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Now, 15. The ones that fell on good ground are those who, having heard the word, with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear forth fruit with patience. And bear forth fruit with patience. And guess what? That's what we're doing. Amen, Mary. That's the word balance. You know what's so cool? It doesn't matter how, it doesn't matter where you were at. In sin or in confusion or in fear or in psychological whatever. It don't matter. The thing you got to do is come and get the revelation of the word. So every day when you wake up, say, Lord, reveal yourself to me today. And ready? The next prayer you should pray is, please help me change. I wish I knew what I said. Let's pray. Father, type in there what I said. You will, Becca. I'd be interested in seeing how it was I just said. I don't like thin ice. I like thick ice. You ready? Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for all of these beautiful believers that are with us. Thank you, Lord, that you are doing a marvelous work in their lives. And now we just get to be free. Literally. There's a reason everybody would like to be like us as Christians, because we are free. There's a reason they want to be like us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word. We've read this. Who knows how many times we've read it. See that once again tonight, it comes alive. And tonight you're teaching us, it's not about a report card grade. It's not about if you can memorize all the definitions or the Greek or the Hebrew words. It's not about all that stuff. It's about, can we get the revelation and come to the understanding, so that it produces life in our life every day. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for every one of these beautiful believers. And I declare in their lives, the revelation knowledge of Almighty God comes to them. Every time they're here with us and every time they open up their Bible. In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. We pray. Amen and amen. Well, I have 19 verses about, and all of them believed in him. Many believed in him. I have 19 of those verses that I was reading tonight. So we'll have to grab them tomorrow in the life of Jesus and the apostles. And here's the cool thing about God. Here's the cool thing about God. Once you come to him, unless you truly are just totally in the flesh and you just flip out in the flesh and scream and holler and yell and cuss and beat people or something, there'll never be another day in your life that you'll be weak. Because he's inside of you. You might feel weak. You might feel tired in your body. You might say, I can't figure this out. You might call and say, Pastor, help me. I need about 15 verses right now. Well, that's what we're here for. That's what all these believers are here for. When you call somebody on the phone to get help, don't expect them to listen to all your problems. What the problem? They'll listen to the problem, then the problem's going to become the big thing again. We're going to give you 10, 15 verses to say, speak these out loud. Watch God move in your behalf now. Watch him move. Why? Because this word is infused with the power of God that'll change your life forever. And here's the thing. Learn to hear that voice so that you know the words that are the fiery dart. Because the enemy wants you to believe that you're dumb, stupid, ignorant, and a failure. All of those statements, when they come, blame him and cast them to the ground. Because you are a mighty conqueror in Jesus Christ our Lord. Don't let anybody or any demon condemn you another day of your life. Can I get an amen? If nobody else, let me just hear an amen from the studio audience.
Amen.
Now, I want to say this about communion. It's very important that you come to communion. Why? Because every time we do this, we are receiving the blood of Jesus and the body of Christ. I listen to my affirmations.
I listen to all of the amen.
Amen, 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 amen. I think it's awesome. There's no something, so somebody throw a something in there. Now. And a glory to the Lamb of God. Got a good John Hagee in there. That's good. You receive it with us every night. Because the daily application of the blood of Jesus is not so that you get more saved. It's so that all of your mind and all that stuff gets washed off of you by the blood of Jesus. And Mary Pastor Rick comes through with a big something. What we're washing is your mind. Your spirit's already been made one with him. Your sins have already been forgiven. You can't forgive any more sins unless you're committing them every day. They're already forgiven. So why are we doing this every day? So that we proclaim Jesus' redemptive work till he comes. And what are we doing? By the washing of the water of the word of God, we cleanse and we purify this mind and our understanding so that we are right with God. And I'll lock a base. But you didn't know what that was, did you? Let's receive communion. Yeah, the dirt bikes up there just ripping and tearing tonight. Here we go. For I received from the Lord that which I also deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, take, eat. This is my body,
think about it, that is broken for you. As often as you do it in remembrance of me. Verse 25, in the same manner after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Verse 26, for as often as you eat this bread and as often as you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's redemptive work until he comes. Verse 28, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Verse 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17, love has been perfected among us in this. Perfect love is on the inside of you. Is it that you and I may have boldness in the day of judgment? Because as he is right now, so are we in this world. He's the head of the body, we're the body. Where the head is, the body's got to be. 18, there is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear and the torment that goes with fear. You ever notice torment and fear? Verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. He gave us the love by which we love him. And we're returning his love to him because he first loved us. That's like a twice blessed love. That's a twice loved love. Isn't that awesome? And because you willingly do it out of your own free will and your own strength, now it has the great authority and power and strength because you're doing it of your own free will. In Jesus' mighty name. You ready? Let's pray a prayer of salvation, of rededication, or just hallelujahification. Here we are. Look at what we got going on. You ready? Pray this with me. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I know I need you in my life.
I know I need you.
In every area.
In every area.
I know Jesus is the door to salvation.
I know Jesus is the door to salvation.
And I enter in.
And I enter in.
Through that door.
Through that door.
Jesus, I believe in you.
Jesus, I believe in you.
And I receive you in my life.
And I receive you in my life.
Right here, right now.
Right here and right now.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Mighty name.
Just like that. Ready? Take your sin and just dump it out and say, there's all my sin.
There's all my sin.
And I know I don't have any ability to deal with it.
I have no ability to deal with it.
Now put your hands out and say, I receive all of your righteousness.
I receive all of your righteousness.
Filling
Jesus.
Every part of my life.
Filling every part of my life.
In Jesus' name. Just like that. Say with me, fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
So I live in power.
Understand the Word of God.
Understand the Word of God.
Pray in my heavenly language.
Pray in my heavenly language.
And live a successful life.
And live a successful life.
As a believer every day.
As a believer every day.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
That's the first time you prayed that prayer. Welcome to the kingdom of God. If that's the 100th time you prayed that prayer, we say, welcome to the kingdom of God. We're glad to have you with us. If you're like some of these saints and it's the 10,000th time you prayed that prayer, it's okay because we're glorifying and glorying in the work that Jesus did with us. In that prayer, you went from darkness to light. You should have been able to experience it. You went from fear to faith, even though you may not be able to explain it. You went from your sin, which can't fix, to his righteousness, which fixes everything in one prayer. And to top it all off, it literally says that Jesus, that the Father said, adopt them into the family. Jesus is the elder brother, and they, and you and I have now become heir of God and joint heir with Jesus in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Welcome to the family of God. They put my email address and website in there so that I have the ability, you have the ability to get a hold of us. And listen, here's the thing with it. I got 10 verses. They're the foundation verses that you got to have solid inside your life so that you can build the rest of the foundation of God's holy word in your Christian life on these verses. If you'll email me and say, Pastor, send them, I'll send them. I'll send you a bunch of verses if you want them, because I got stacks of verses. They're stacked this high and this high and this high, and then there's a row of them like that, and the logs, and it kind of goes like that. Got big stacks and little ones. And will help you walk with God. Tell us a story. Give us a prayer request. We just want to know that we can be a blessing to you in any way we can, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Let's receive our elements. Grab you. Run and get some water and some bread and juice and bread, something. My one friend in Iraq on the flight line, he had Cheez-Its and a Gatorade. And it worked for me. Yep. You ready? Let's pray. Let's bless our elements. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I bless these elements.
I bless these elements.
For this time of communion with you.
For this time of communion.
Jesus, you were wounded.
Jesus, you were wounded.
For my transgression.
For my transgression.
You were bruised.
You were bruised.
For my iniquity.
For my iniquity.
The chastisement.
The chastisement.
For my peace.
For my peace.
Is on you.
Is on you, Lord.
And by your stripes.
And by your stripes.
I am healed.
I am healed.
In my spirit and my soul and in my body.
In my spirit, my soul, and in my body.
In my mind, my will, and my emotion.
In my mind, my will, and my emotion.
Nothing missing, nothing.
Nothing missing, nothing.
Every missing. Joint supply.
Every joint supply.
In my body.
In my body.
From your body.
From your body.
In the body of Christ in my community.
In the body of Christ in my community.
And right here in this community.
And right here in this community.
In Jesus.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's receive the bread together. Thank you, Lord, that your body was broken. And ours was made whole. Thank you. When your body was broken, it made a place for us. We receive our place in you. Now we lift up the cup of blessing. The blood of Jesus. The most powerful cleansing force there is on the face of the earth. Say this with me. By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have been redeemed.
I have been redeemed.
I have reconciliation.
I have reconciliation.
With my Father.
With my Father.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
Every sin.
Every sin.
Has been placed in remission.
Has been placed in remission.
And wiped out of my life.
And wiped out of my life.
And I'm a new creation.
And I'm a new creation.
Old things have passed away.
All things have passed away.
And all things have become
new. And all things have become new.
And I thank you for it.
And I thank you for it.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
And the word of my testimony.
The word of my testimony.
I overcome.
I overcome.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I come boldly to the throne room of grace,
where I find grace, mercy, and help
for my assignment every day.
For my assignment
by the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
The accuser of the brethren.
The accuser of the brethren.
It's cast down in my life.
It's cast down in my life.
And there is no more condemnation.
And there's no more condemnation.
My conscience is purged.
My conscience is purged.
My robes are made white.
My robes are made white.
And I will always be
the glorious church.
Without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
When
you come for me. In Jesus' mighty
name. Amen.
Let's receive the juice together. We heard that new song about the blood today. Don't know it good. Ready? Let's sing Power in the Blood, the old hymn. Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood. Power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Now, makes you want to just sing, I want to know why I got different emojis here than I do there.
Yeah,
it just doesn't. Well, guys, there it is.
Mike made it bad.
Say this with getting graded.
Not getting graded.
But there is a reward.
But there is a reward.
Amen. Amen. Jesus said, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me. What is it for? It's for those who are faithful to the end. Faithful to the end. Hey, Julian and Vimala's with us. Everybody declare it right now. Say, I declare Julian and Vimala are filled with strength, filled with power, filled with might, filled with dominion. Everything we do.
Amen.
We love you, love you, love you, love you, love you. Well, Lord Wilma, God bless you. Sweet dreams to you tonight. That means they're big donuts and like muskmelon and grapes and watermelon, sweet dreams. You missed it.
I missed it.
Missed it. Well, we'll see you tomorrow. And tomorrow night, we're going to come back and grab this again. Because I really want to get this revelation deep in this. That it ain't about a grade. Forget about a grade. God is not marking us on a grade. God's saying, let me help you get the revelation. And he doesn't care how many times he's going to help you get it. To get it, he's going to help you get it.
Yeah.
Say,
I can relax and enjoy
my relationship with him.
Yeah. Amen.
Crazy computer. Just stop. All right, until we see you again, this is what we say.
We love you.
And God loves you.
God loves you.
And Jesus is
Lord.
Jesus.